Hello listeners and welcome to Stark Raven Mad. It's Friday, October the 11th, and you're about to hear Episode 9. Psychic Christine Guyon discusses her uplifting true-to-life story, Extraordinary Things Happen to Ordinary People. Okay, so welcome Chris to this, your interview. Your book is Extraordinary Things Happen to Ordinary People, which is a non-fiction text, which is, I believe, largely based from your life and your experiences.
That's right, Tim.
Okay, so first of all then, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your life right now?
Yes, well, I think I am an ordinary person. Mm-hmm. I'm a mum with two daughters and spooky nan to my granddaughter, who will be two soon. But I'm also an author, a Reiki master, and I am an independent funeral celebrant.
Right, so for our listeners who might not know what that is.
Right. I take the funerals of what we call the unaffiliated, people who do not go to church.
Right.
But who do have a belief system, believe in something.
Yeah.
I take the funerals for those people. So I'm not a humanist, because a humanist funeral will not allow any religious content, but I will do whatever the deceased or their family ask me to do. So if they wish to have a hymn or a prayer, then I'm happy to have that in the service.
Right, so people who might have like an amalgamation of different beliefs but not following one strict religion, that's the kind of thing you're catering
yes.
to there.
Yes, right. I provide services for those people.
Ah, okay, that's very interesting. That's certainly an interesting lifestyle to lead. So what led you into this lifestyle with things like Reiki and these kind of alternative beliefs?
Well, again, I was perfectly ordinary. Mm-hmm. The age of 39, married, two kids, part-time job. But I'm also a very tactile person, and I would see friends and I'd say, oh, how are you? And pat them on the arm or the leg, and they'd jump and they'd go, oh, what have you just done? And I'd say, nothing. And then they'd say, but how did you know my leg was hurting me? I didn't. What have you done? Because it feels better now and it feels warm. And oh, I don't know. And this kept happening. And it got to a point where I only had to think about somebody I knew who wasn't well, and I would feel that I would spontaneously combust with all this energy that suddenly would flow through me.
Right.
And I had kept seeing the word Reiki in specialist magazines and things, but didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
Went to a psychic fair one day, and there was a young man, and he had Reiki up on the wall next to him, so I went and had a chat with him. Sat down and he said, would you like some healing? And I said, oh no, I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to know, what does Reiki mean? What's it all about? And he looked at me and he said, well, you're a healer. And I said, well, people keep telling me this. I said, but I don't know if what I'm doing could harm anybody, because I don't know what it is I'm doing. And he went, oh no, he said, don't worry. Do your hands get hot for no reason? And I went, yes. He said, do total strangers tell you their life story at the bus stop and in the shopping queue? And I said, all the blinking time. And he laughed about you and he said, well, Reiki has found you. Now you need to find a Reiki master to teach you how to use it.
Right.
And that was 17 years ago. And never looked back.
Yeah, so the story sort of tells itself after that, of developing the abilities and looking more into that side of life.
That's right. And also I see it as part of an extension of my healing path in being the funeral celebrant, because I have had that experience myself. I lost my husband 3 years ago. We had a celebrant take his service, because we're not religious people, but yeah, we are spiritual people, two completely different things.
Yeah.
And he made the whole event so easy to bear. He became part of the family. It was like he knew my husband. And after the funeral, I had people coming up to me and saying, that was the most unusual funeral I've ever been to. I didn't No, it was all right to laugh at a funeral, you know, and to celebrate somebody. And after I worked through my own grief, I've realised that that's something that I wanted to do, to be with families at the most difficult time in their lives, support them and help heal them. So that's how I got drawn into doing that.
Right. So your book, once again, the title, Extraordinary Things Happen to Ordinary People. I think we're starting to see where that idea comes from. What inspired you to write about your life?
Nothing inspired me. I got nagged by my guides. This was last year, when my cat Gabriel was alive. He used to like being fed at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I can't get going at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I come down in my dressing gown, make a cup of tea, feed him, keep him quiet, sit down, maybe read a magazine or do a meditation. And then one morning, my guide said to me, write the book. And what book? Write the book. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You see, I don't do as I'm told. I do argue. And this went on for about a week. Write the book. I don't know what book you want me to write. What are you going on about? And then finally, the penny dropped and they wanted me to write about all my experiences from childhood so that I could share them and let other people see that life is not as they think it is. Lots of things go on around us that we are totally blinkered to half the time. So that was, I thought I was going to write this down for my daughters to read at some stage, like when they're going through my papers. I never thought it would be published.
Right, I see. So what was the belief behind choosing the title then?
Well, I had lots of different titles.
Yeah.
under my original title, it was A Work in Progress.
Yeah.
But the publisher said, oh, no, you can't have that. It's too many books out there without any title. And then I thought, okay, one step beyond, because I've got 1 foot in the spiritual world and 1 foot on earth.
Yeah.
No, come back. No, I can't use that again. too many. And then he emailed me a little while later and he said, well, I have checked now and there is not one book called Extraordinary Things Happen to Ordinary People. Mm-hmm. And he's actually taken that from what I've written about.
Oh, I see. So it's an extract from the text.
It's an extract, the book. And that's what we went with.
Mm.
Bit of a long title.
I thought that when I looked at it, but the cover design is quite clever. To make it look like quite smooth and streamlined, even though it's a lot of words to fit on the page, it looks quite good.
Mm.
I think maybe the advantage of a long title is it makes you stop and read it because you can't just glance at it.
That's it. But also the actual photograph on the cover is also taken. He's taken what I've written about in the book, where I was at an angel workshop.
Right.
The lady taking the workshop said, can you imagine a very, very busy high street with thousands of people walking up and down doing their shopping and they're all thinking, oh, I've got the boss coming over for dinner tonight and I don't know what to cook. And their angel will be walking behind them, wringing their hands, saying, just ask me, please ask me, and I'll direct you to the recipe that you can use.
Right.
And she said, can you imagine all those poor angels walking behind their person, begging to be asked to help because they cannot intervene unless they are asked.
Right.
And so with that picture in his head, that's how he chose that cover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see really well how that fits now, because it does seem like a very sort of busy scene, but there's something quite, I don't know, there's something quite open and spiritual about it at the same time, the colours and the way it's spaced.
Because the man with the wings, they're not his wings, it's his angel standing behind him.
Yeah.
But, again, how life is wonderful. One of my nieces bought the book and gave it to her prospective mother-in-law, who lost her husband suddenly last year.
Right.
And her mother-in-law nearly fell off her chair when she looked at the cover and said, where was this photo taken? And I didn't know, so I had to ask the publisher, and he said it was Covent Garden. So I relayed this back to my niece and asked why, and she said, because the man with the wings behind him is the man who took her husband's funeral last year.
Wow.
And even I got a wow out of that one.
What an amazing coincidence. That's, well, I mean, if you could even call it a coincidence. I mean, it's
no such thing as coincidence.
Yeah, it seems like it's by design, doesn't it? Certainly.
Exactly. And so I was actually in that lady's kitchen on Monday afternoon having a cup of tea with her, talking about the book and her telling me how much it's helped her since her husband died.
Yeah. So, well, amazing. That's one person who was definitely meant to read it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the feedback I'm getting from readers has just been absolutely amazing.
So what would you say is the central message then that you're delivering through this work?
The fact that life is not as we think it is. It's not you're born, you grow up, you get a job, you get married, you have kids and you die. That is not life. That is just moving through the process
of
your time here. We are surrounded by such amazing things, like our guides. Angels do exist. I have personal experience, and they've been with me many, many years. Mm-hmm. And they're asking me to share the message so that people realize that you're not on your own. You do have access to guides, to spirit, to angels, if only you just open your mind and accept that they're there. And once you open your mind, you then start seeing the signs. So that's my mission.
I see. So it's pretty much then a message to absolutely anybody who could pick up the book to know that access is not, it's not restricted to people that they hear about with these psychic abilities, and people who are just interested in like new age kind of things, that everybody can have that access and, you know, have that comfort from knowing that there is guidance out there for them.
Definitely, definitely. I've had so many people who've put things down to coincidence, and then when I've said to them, but if da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da hadn't happened, then you wouldn't be at this point in your life or whatever stage they're at for you to be experiencing what you're having now. And then I go, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that.
Yeah.
You know, well, even negative things that happen to you, you think, well, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't have gone off and done so-and-so, and then I wouldn't be in the situation I'm experiencing today, which is making me really happy.
Yeah. So,
that's what I'm trying to let people be aware of.
It's making me think about my own life, actually, because I have these little moments, and I generally call them instincts, because I have no better word for it. Like, for example, I was on my way to university a couple of weeks ago, and I thought to myself, I need to take my computer. And then I was like, how ridiculous. I never lug my massive laptop all the way to university. Why would I do that? That's silly. And then I thought, no, I really need to take it with me today. I feel like I might need it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I'll lug it there in my bag. And I got there and the entire computer room had been shut down and I was the only one who had any access to do my work.
That's brilliant. That is a brilliant example of listening to your intuition.
Yeah.
And your intuition is never wrong. And people who have that gut feeling and ignore it, then regret it later.
Yeah, well, I have ignored it in the past and regretted it. So when something like that happens now, if I have that feeling, oh, I should take this random object with me, you know, yes, that I see lying on the side because I'm going to need it. And I pick them up and take them with me. And like 99% of the time, it's right. So
that's it. And when people start tuning into their intuition, that's the part that's, we're not just bodies, we are soul and energy too. Mm-hmm. And the intuition is based just above the navel. So that's why they say when you get a gut feeling, because that's where you will feel it in your body.
I see.
So if you're in any situation and you get that feeling there that you're not safe, then act on it. But on the other hand, if you get that feeling that's making you happy, and this is just what I need, act on that too.
Yeah.
Because your intuition is there to guide you. And that's the part of you that is attached to your higher self, which watches over you all through this lifetime and is connected to your guides and to your angels. So they will be feeding in the messages through your energy system to that area.
I see. It's fascinating. Okay, so what can readers expect to feel then when they're actually reading your book, when they're sitting there reading what you've written?
Well, I can only go by what feedback I've had so far.
Yeah.
And people have said they like the way it's written because it's like I'm sitting chatting to them.
Right.
In fact, the lady I had coffee with on Monday, she said, honestly, Chris, you're no different in person than what you are in the book. She said, the book felt like you were sitting opposite me and having a good old natter.
Yeah.
She said, and you're just the same in real life. And that's how it's come across to people. It's not telling you what to do. It's just sharing what's happened to me. And then if you think to yourself, oh, that's happened to me. And then it'll make you start thinking about the other things that might happen to you that you just dismissed as coincidence or not possible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. One thing that's particularly special to me is this will probably be in the next book, actually. I've been told by my guides there will be another book at some point.
All right. Okay.
I ended up, at short notice, giving a quick talk in a spiritualist church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't attend a spiritualist church, but I just happened to be with a friend there at this time, and it worked out that I ended up being up the front talking quickly about the book.
Yeah.
And later I was approached by a lady who I know, who is a medium, and she said to me, I'm so glad you talked about the book, Chris, she said, because you may be surprised, I have friends, even though I'm a pagan, she said, I have friends who are vicars and priests. So I was a bit surprised at that.
Yeah.
And she said, one of my vicar friends, when I went to see him, said that he was having a bit of a wobble in his faith. But he'd been drawn to this book that he'd seen on the internet called Extraordinary Things Happen to Ordinary People.
Right.
Now, the medium said, I did not tell him that I knew you, Chris. She said, I wanted to see what happened.
Yeah.
So the vicar ordered the book, cancelled all his engagements for that day, and read the book in one day.
Right.
So when she saw him again, she asked how he'd got on, and he said, I can't believe it. That lady has given me my faith back.
Wow.
So the medium said to him, well, I'll now tell you that I actually know Chris, that she's a friend of mine. And he said to her, well, the next time you see her, can you give her this? And she gave me this massive hug in the middle of the spiritualist church. Which I thought was a bit surreal, but mind-blowing at the same time.
I suppose it definitely reaffirms the belief from the message from your guides to say that there were people who definitely needed this book at this particular time.
Yes.
You know, there were people that you needed to reach with this publication.
Yes, and this is what's in. I'm getting people sort of responding to me and saying, you know, I read page whatever and your experience has now made me accept what happened to me and now I understand why that happened. And some people that have had miscarriages, which I mentioned in the book when I had mine, it's given them comfort knowing what happened to their baby afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's like it's got a life of its own. I don't call it my book. It's the book. The book has gone out into the world, into the ether, and it's doing things that I hadn't even envisaged it would do, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, I believe there's a quote by Stephen King that says that the experience begins with the author, but it must end with the reader.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be the author still retaining that control. Books do, fiction or otherwise, they should have a life of their own. They should instill something in the reader.
Yeah. Well, this book certainly seems to be doing that, which I'm very happy to say.
Yeah. Okay, so as an author then, was this the first time that you ever sort of put pen to paper as an author?
No. how many years ago? Going on for 5 years ago, I was diagnosed, unfortunately, with malignant melanoma. And so it's quite nasty.
Yeah.
So I was off work going through my treatment. And my best friend, and she's my soul sister as well, and she's mentioned in the book, Maggie. She and I were therapists working together at the time for women going through the menopause.
Right.
And we wrote a book between us. Well, she wrote it, I edited it and added a few bits, but she's put me down as co-author, bless her.
Right.
And that was called A Little Less Dragon, A Little More Angel. And so my name is as down as a co-author on a book from about 5 years ago, but that was more of a practical thing.
Yeah.
It was a bit personal because we were going through the menopause ourselves at the time, and we thought, as therapists, we should know more about this than the average lady.
Yeah.
So we set out to do the research and met some very lovely women on the way, and some very happy husbands who've read the book and now can understand why their wives act like they do.
Yeah, I can imagine. So so you've had that sort of book experience of working with a text but never taken anything on solo previously.
That's right. Yeah.
So how did you find the experience of actually writing this book then?
I found it really therapeutic in a way to be able to just sit and write about what's happened in my life, so that it sorted things out in my head as well as I was writing it down. I was amazed because I technology and I do not get on. I think it's because I'm a healer, I tend to upset crystal chips in things.
Right.
So technology doesn't always work for me. So I decided to just get myself some textbooks, you know, exercise books, and a couple of decent pens, and sit and write it in longhand.
I see.
And to my amazement, it was falling into chapters. And then my guys were reminding me of things that I'd forgotten. So I had a side list that I had to keep jotting things down that they reminded me of in between me writing what I was writing at that moment.
Yeah.
And then some mornings I'd think, oh, I had enough of writing now. Give it up this morning. And then look at the time, and 3 hours had passed from when I started. I wasn't aware of the time going, you know, while I was writing it. And I'd actually written it in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's good. So so in that case, it's quite a short space of time. Were there any points where you had difficulty in telling the story? Was there anything that made you stop or want to give up at any point?
Yes, there were, because quite a few things were quite personal and I didn't know if I wanted to actually share them.
Yeah.
But when I got to those points, my guys were then the most encouraging and saying, well, you know, this is exactly what you need to share because others will be going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And it will be helpful. There was one stage when the publisher emailed me and said, I want you to think seriously about what you've put in this chapter. And it's regarding finding that I had Jesus as a guide when I first started this path.
Right.
Because you are going to ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I thought long and hard about it. And then I thought, no, that stays in because that happened. That was a real experience. That did happen. So I emailed him back and I said, thank you for your feedback. I've thought long and hard about this, but I can't leave it out because I might upset someone that I've never met and probably will never meet. And that sort of person would be picking my book up in the first place. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah.
But you know, I will withdraw from the competition and wish the best of luck to the winner and look forward to buying their book in the future.
Right.
And within 20 minutes, he's such a lovely man, Nigel Peace, he got back to me and he said, no, Chris, you misunderstood. It's what you leave in, not what you take out, that's important.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make you aware that you may upset certain readers. But no, keep it in if that's, you know, don't take anything out. And for goodness sake, don't leave the competition. So, so we left it in. And I haven't had any so far negative comments about it.
Yeah, it's as you say, I think the people who could be offended by that kind of content, if they did pick up your book, I think they'd be expecting to find something to criticise.
Yes.
So, as you say, it's you know, it's people who want to be helped and who want to understand and believe in these kind of things, that's your audience that are picking it up.
Well, this is it. They'll be drawn, like the vicar.
Yeah.
They'll be drawn to it because that's what they need at that time in their lives, hopefully.
Yeah, well, if you have a vicar who isn't concerned by that particular point, then you know, who else is there to argue?
Oh, that's very true. I haven't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I'll use the vicar as an example if I get anybody upset.
Yeah, approved by vicars.
Approved by vicars, yeah.
Okay, so... It sounds like a really incredible journey and an absolutely fascinating thing. Even in this short conversation, you've already made me think about my own life and, you know, these little instincts that I have, as I say, and that I can certainly see that they can be connected to the idea that you're putting out there and how, you know, how easy it is to brush it off and to say coincidence. Yes. Because it's that kind of word that we use all the time. You just say, oh, a funny thing happened to me. Or you wouldn't believe it that this happened, but actually you could believe it, couldn't you? You could take it on as an everyday thing.
That's right.
Yeah, if you were embracing this idea that you're putting out there to people.
But it does, and it makes life that much more exciting. I mean, life is an adventure. You've got no idea. People make plans for years ahead. You've got no idea what's happening this afternoon, let alone in 5, 10 years
time. I do believe in that, definitely, yeah.
And... it is an adventure. And I wake up in the morning and I think, right, what adventure am I going to have today?
Yeah, what does fate have in store? What cards will you be dealt for the day?
Exactly.
That could possibly change your life forever, one little thing that happens today.
Well, it does. And this is what makes life exciting, and that's what I want people to remember. It's a privilege that we're here. It's a privilege to have this life experience.
Yeah.
And whether you see your life as being very negative or very positive, you will get what you put out. So if you're expecting things to go wrong, the universe will give you what you want.
Yes.
It doesn't decide what's good or bad. It gives you what you want. And if you're giving out negative all the time, then it thinks that's what it wants and gives you more negative. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you put out lots of positive energy and positive thoughts, then you're just attracting positive things to come into your life.
So. That sounds like a belief that we could all do well to remember.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Life is an adventure.
Yeah. Okay, so to finish up then, the most important question, where is your book available to buy? Where can people get their hands on it?
Well, for me, it's one of them.
Yeah.
But it's also on Amazon, Waterstones, Watkins. You can order it through my website, which is... all lowercase and one word, chrisguyon.co.uk, and there is a section on the website where you can order it.
Right. Fantastic. So thanks.
It's an ebook as well now.
Ah, okay. So you can get it on Amazon Kindle then as well,
yes.
I presume.
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah, moving into the future to reach even more people.
Well, this is it. It's a good job I've got nothing to do with it because it'll go pear-shaped.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Chris. It's been an absolute pleasure and a really fascinating book. It sounds like something that could definitely help a lot of people who are out there sort of seeking that positive guidance in their life. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Kim.
Don't forget to find us on Facebook and check out the blog at starkravenmadradio.blogspot.com. Until next time, folks, this is KC Finn, over and out.